We must assume that a perfect God has a perfect plan, and therefore, because such a plan exists, we must assume too that the perfect plan is functioning perfectly. It then becomes necessary for us to align ourselves with the perfect plan. And if for some reason we find ourselves unable to locate it or to align ourselves with it or to insist on operating in an individual way without regard to the divine plan, it follows that we are going to run afoul of the plan and we're going to miss the target. Now John, the beloved, could understand the divine plan. And he had a way of setting it forth so that anyone who was eager to move in conjunction with God could read John, study John, and then applying himself to what John had said could move in synchrony with that plan. And right at the start of the Gospel of John, we're given a very mystical but important contribution to our transition. We have to look at those words from the standpoint of how do they help us attain oneness with God. And John says that in the beginning was the Word, and we're going to call that the living Word, because that Word is alive in you. That Word, alive in Enoch, made him the Word made flesh. That Word, alive in Jesus, made him the Word made flesh. And that Word, alive in you, will make you the Word made flesh when you comply with its demands. Now that Word is infinite. That Word is an infinite divine seed. That Word is Christ. But you must remember that is a living Word. And a living Word must be nurtured. It must grow, it must flourish, it must bear infinite fruit. And therefore the Word in you must bear infinite fruit. There's no place where you can stop. And you're going to see that infinite fruit means you must come into the realization of your infinite selfhood and your eternal life. That is the only way you can do justice to the infinite seed or the living Word within you. Now the Word is Christ, and Christ in you is Christ in mankind. And so the Word is the infinite Christ of mankind. You cannot take Christ as your personal possession. And part of the RX for divine living is to recognize the universality of the Christhood of yourself. It's not that a segment of Christ is in you, a segment of Christ is in someone else, but the infinity of Christ is in you. All of Christ is in you. And all of Christ is in your neighbor. And until you have accepted the universality of Christ in you, you're not accepting the divine plan. The universal Christ is the living Son of God. And when you say, I am the Christ, or I am the Son of God, you must be saying, I am the universal Christ. And you must live out of that understanding. Now, John makes this quite clear. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You cannot dwarf God down to a segment. The Word was God. And that word in you is the same word that was God. You're learning right at the start that the nature of God is the nature of you, because the living Word in you is the Word that is God. Now, that's a big jump for you right at the start, and unless you're willing to make the jump, you're going to find that those who do make the jump are going to walk right past you. You can't keep pace unless you are living out of the universality of the living Word. And you'll have to come to grips with what that actually means. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Now, you can interpret that to mean by the Word or by God. Therefore, all reality is composed of the living Word that you are. And I say that not in a metaphorical way, but in a factual way. All that is reality is you. You can leave nothing in reality out of your being, because all that is real is God, and the Christ of God is the individualization of God. And that's the perfect plan, God individualizing as Christ in everyone. And therefore, the reality of God is the reality of Christ, and the reality of Christ is the reality of you. All that Spirit is, you are, and you must be true to that. There's nothing you can omit. You'll find that your Christ mind knows this. And therefore, when the human mind is out of the way, your Christ mind will be functioning in the allness of God. And transition is going to depend on the degree to which you accept the allness of God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. The living Word is life, and you're going to find that there is no other life than the life of the living Word. This is the method with which God becomes alive in you through the living Word. In Him was life. And this life is the light of all men. Now, there you have the divine plan. And this is again reemphasized constantly, but especially in John 15. I am the true vine. Now, I want you to see two miracles. One is that the Spirit of God dwelling in you is the infinite seed, or the living Word of God. And that must be brought to fruition. That is the plan. As this seed within you becomes more and more part of your living consciousness, it will bear fruit. And that fruit will be the fulfillment of your being. And that will involve all that God is coming to life as the fulfillment of your being, until you can truly say, I and the Father are one. This realization will be your transition. It will mean that the living Word of God in you has come to fruition. That you are Christed. That you are aware of your Christhood. And that you are aware that all that is God's is yours, because all that is God is Christ. Now that doesn't seem out of reach. And the reason it doesn't and shouldn't is because it is the divine plan. And it is already fulfilled. Our function is to become conscious of the fact that it is already fulfilled by accepting that fulfillment and living from that high altitude. You will find it easier when you accept that Christ in you, the living Word, is the vine. In fact, Christ in you says, I am the resurrection. And you may not be ready for the resurrection as you think of resurrection, but you are. Because resurrection means much more than I have died and I will be resurrected. It is resurrection from the illusions of the world. Every illusion of the world is dissolved by your Christ recognition. And this is resurrection. And I am the life. And that means there is no other. And in the resurrection, in the life, all things are already fulfilled and are functioning by grace. The reality of you is functioning by grace now, waiting for your consciousness to catch up. This is different than becoming. It is the acceptance of your being. Let us let John impress upon us the need to live in the conscious awareness of the living Word. And while you're listening to his words, ask yourself if you have prepared yourself to receive the living Word. Do you trust it? Are you willing to follow through? Are you willing to act upon the living word? Are you going to insert your human will in its place? Will you be meek unto the living word? Will human ego intrude? And if you have stripped yourself of all this and can feel the purity of your purpose, so that you can say, yes, I am ready for the living word, you will find that it makes a deeper entry into your consciousness. In fact, it flows out of your consciousness. And it leads you into divine activity. The living word, the Christ, does not see things from the standpoint of human ego. For example, whatever happened to you yesterday is past to your ego. Whatever has not happened to you is future to your ego. You measure things from your ego. Whatever you see in the human world is translated by your ego into whether it's good for you or bad for you. God does not see the way a human ego sees. To God, what happened in your human past did not happen. What is going to happen in your human future never will happen. God does not see a mortal world. God does not see a mortal even becoming immortal. God does not see a mortal creation or a material creation. But neither does Christ. Christ sees only what God sees. And God only sees that which is reality. God looks into eternity. And God sees all of eternity. God sees it now, not as past, not as future. God does not see different degrees of justice. The human mind does. You say this one is just, this one is righteous, this one is not. God sees only justice, because that's all there is in the kingdom of God. And Christ sees only justice. Your human mind says, but that's in unjust. I can see it. But God doesn't see that, because God did not create that. And because the nature of the kingdom is justice. The nature of the kingdom is love. The nature of the kingdom is harmony. The nature of the kingdom is joy. And God sees only what is. Christ sees only what is. And you must train yourself not to see the dualities, not to see the opposites. And even though you cannot see what is, you must learn to accept what is, and then, to your surprise, you will find that what is to you will manifest. You will find that you have the capacity to make heaven visible. But it will take a great deal of patience, a great deal of practice, a great deal of tenacity. You have been given the power to make heaven visible through your Christ mind. I am the vine. This I is one of the great miracles of the world. You have been reading the Bible and seeing Jesus perform. But Jesus does not perform in this Bible. You see Jesus, you hear Jesus, but you are not seeing Jesus and you are not hearing Jesus. You are hearing the living Word. You are seeing the living Word and mistaking it for Jesus. That living Word, which was in the beginning, is using what is called the form of Jesus as a way of expressing and relating to those who are in form. But the voice is the voice of the living Word, and the action, though invisible to human sense, though coming forth through interpretation as the form of Jesus, is the action of the living Word. That is what you are looking at, and that is the miracle of the Bible. That living Word, which speaks inaudibly, and which is active invisibly, and which appears to men as Jesus, is the living Word of mankind, the immortal self of mankind. And this is the shock. That living Word, which you see as Jesus, is the immortal self of you. Yourself is instructing you through the Bible. Yourself is instructing your human self about your immortal self. And anything you want to know about you, you will find by turning to the living Word in the Bible, which is called Christ. Because that's who you are. That's the miracle of the Bible. It's a miracle of the Old Testament as well as the New. You can go back as far as you want, and the living Word is always there to instruct you. And when you have developed the inner ear to hear and the inner eye to see, you will find that the living Word is opening your spiritual eye so that you can see something you didn't know was here. You are under the impression that you are in the world. You are not. You can't be what is not here. There is no world. And the living Word of God is trying to open your inner eye to the realization that all that is here is the kingdom of spirit, which is called heaven. You may say, I'm in San Diego, or I am in this world. And as long as you maintain that approach to living, you'll find that you are rejecting the living Word. Because the living Word is telling you that you are in the kingdom of heaven now. That the place whereon thou standest is the kingdom of heaven. And that you're looking at the perfection of God at all times, though it's invisible to your human sense. And it is up to you to bring forth this living Word into daily expression so that it can manifest. And it manifests through your recognition of it. if you catch the miracle of what is and are able to drop the illusion of what is not, life becomes a great enchantment. Because all around you is functioning perfection. You can be looking at horrible events, and right there, perfection is functioning, invisible to human sense. And you have the capacity to bring that perfection into manifestation through your enlightened consciousness. If you are ready for the living word, now we are all hovering on the brink of this type of experience. The one speaking to you through John is your own immortal self, the living word. And it says to you, I am the true vine. And what you read in the book is what you should be hearing in your soul. And you will hear it in your soul when you realize that is where it is coming from. I am the true vine. Christ speaks through your soul. And it appears in print in a book, because you're not ready to listen to your soul. But then again, maybe you are. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You're watching your transition be taken away if you are that branch which beareth not fruit. Conversely, if you are the branch that beareth fruit, you're moving toward the end of that life which can be aborted. You're moving toward the end of disease, of illness, of vulnerability, of pain, of lack and limitation. They're right here for you to enjoy now, but you're separated from them by the belief that you are not the living Word of God. It's like a chasm between you and the reality. And when you bridge that chasm with knowledge, with wisdom, with soul awareness, you discover that all that the Father hath truly is yours. Because all that the Father hath is individualizing as the Christ of your being, as the living Word. And this is the living Word speaking to you through John. This living Word resurrects you from every problem on the face of the earth. As you become conscious of it. But it does more than that. It has a way of bringing to you a new substance. And that substance is the essence of soul. It is a secret substance, but need not be a secret. It is only a secret because we have not learned to accept it. The essence of soul is brought to you every time you receive divine thought. Divine thought in you contains the essence of soul. And that essence, added through accumulation of divine thought in you, becomes your new soul body. And that soul body enables you to transcend this world. When you are meek unto the Word, you inherit the kingdom of God in that way. When the human ego is abated, when the human sense of personal individuality is eclipsed, when personal will is overshadowed, when you have learned that the secret of life is letting the will of God in you function, then the living Word comes through your soul. Christ literally speaks in your soul. And that brings this divine essence, this substance. And this substance forms itself into that which transcends the world. That's how Enoch stepped out of the world. That's how he taught his students to step out. That's how Jesus the Christ trained his disciples. And that's how Christ in you is training you. You can almost feel the formation of life essence within you. It has a peculiar It's a sense of touch that isn't a sense of touch. And I can't describe it. I can only say that if you experience it, you know it. And when you know it, you realize that you are being touched by the divine. Signs do follow. And then as you become aware that there is a force surrounding you, penetrating you, interpenetrating everything you do, this force becomes your constant companion. And then you associate the life force with the living Word, and you find that they are one and the same. The life force and the living Word are one and the same. And you're beginning to let this living Word in you express. You're beginning to let it make your decisions. You're beginning to say, not my will, but thine. And all the while you're knowing that this living force is growing within you. And that means you're growing because it is you. That becomes your mode of life. Letting this living force within you prosper, multiply. Let's see if we can feel this living force within us, because it's identity. It's who you are. See if you can feel it and realize that what you're feeling has no beginning and no end. It couldn't be born. It couldn't be sick. It couldn't pain. There's no way it can die. It is the you that is developing out of the you that the world had thought you are. It is the infinite you. This living word that you are is alive now in eternity. And you should allow yourself luxury of letting go of all human thought and all human hopes and all human ambitions in the knowledge that the living word of you in eternity now has already achieved everything you could possibly hope for. To luxuriate in that truth until you feel it, until you know it, until you trust it. Will release more soul essence into your living being. That's why it is the true vine. It is the door of eternal life. No man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Christ made this remark. And Christ is the living word. No man hath ascended to heaven except he who came down from heaven. And yet we are being told that we can ascend to heaven. But remember that last phrase, no man can ascend to heaven except he who came down from heaven. How could we ascend then if we hadn't been there? And then there's another catch to this remark. If we had been there, did we ever descend? Or did we have the belief that we descended? Can you imagine that you would be in heaven and decide to leave? What would force you out? Can an immortal become mortal? It is telling us that we have come down only in our belief. In other words, you have never left heaven. Truly, never have we left heaven. Where would you go? There is no world. It's impossible to leave heaven. All you can do is have the false belief that you have. Heaven is where the reality of you lives. And it's up to you to live in that reality. I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The more fruit that you bring forth is the greater realization of your identity. No matter how hard you try to realize who you are, you're going to find that for a long time you can't encompass the full scope of who you are. You can do it with words. You can't manifest it. And yet, all there is, you are. For all that the Father hath is thine. It has been thought that Jesus would lead men to the kingdom of God. Others think that Jesus came here to improve our world, to make it a better place to live in. Do you think so? Why would Jesus want to improve a world which is not the kingdom of God? Or make it a better place to live in? What's wrong with the kingdom? There is no kingdom and a world. But rather, Christ is here within us to open our eyes to the presence of the kingdom, to make us aware that we walk in perpetual harmony, perpetual joy, perpetual love, perpetual perfection, and to make us unwilling to accept less. For that would be adultery. The dilution of the perfect kingdom of God in our consciousness is adultery. Christ says, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And that will is to bring into every heart a realization of the Christ, to open the inner eye, now the eye that came down from heaven, is the living word. You are always hearing your own immortal self, the living word, say whatever Jesus says. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. That's the Christ of your being talking. And there should be a moment of instant recognition in which you say, the Christ of my being is here to do the will of God. And therefore, it is doing that. There should be a lessening of the human sense of self. Not the sense of self which wants to accomplish things in this world. That is not. Now I know that the human sense of self is strong. I know that it will always be there as a stumbling block to us, but in a sense it's also an aid. Because as we learn to overcome the human sense of self and learn to accept the living word within, which is the vine of God, we are doing something that this world has needed. We are not adding our personal sense of life to a great big ocean in which human purposes are often in a state of conflict. We are removing human purposes. We are trusting that we need no defense when we remove these human purposes. Many of us from time to time find that even though we think we're living fairly close to God's purpose, things happen in our lives which we can't explain. And we lament these things. We grieve about them. We question. We say, why? But if we examine the fiber of our consciousness, we find that when these things happen, we have left the door open through vulnerabilities which we have perpetuated. We are not willing to face these vulnerabilities that we have created.